It's up here, but should I start over? Need my guru. Till you're better paid, Eric. He's got all my brains in the thumb drive here, so. We're grateful to have you, and many of you have come a little ways to be here with us, and there's other things you could be doing, but you've chosen rather to be here, and it's encouraging to this congregation, and I hope it'll be beneficial to all of us as we study about living in an ungodly nation. And I think if I ask you to shake your head, I know which way it would be this way. We are, aren't we? We're not living in a Christian nation, but an ungodly nation. And we've got a lot of hay to bale tonight, a lot of corn to shuck. So we'll get right into our lesson. Chapter 2, verses 10 through 12. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods, of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord, and served Baal and Ashtaroth. Are we any different than they? Are we not doing what they did? May not be bowing to literal idols, but we are bowing to other things, aren't we? Materialism and pleasure. And we're turning away from God. James tells us in chapter 4, in verse 7 through 10, that we ought to be sorry for the sins that we commit. In the book of Matthew, in chapter 5, Jesus said, "Blessed are they which do mourn, for they shall be comforted." He didn't say happy are the sad, but mourning over our sins and weeping and wailing, and he says that here. "Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up." We need to be mourning, and we need to be praying to God and asking him for forgiveness. I notice the prophets, when they pray in the Old Testament, they do not pray like, "God, forgive these people." The prophets say, "We have sinned." We as a nation are a nation of sinners, ungodly, and do not deserve the blessings that God has given us. Did you notice after 9/11/2001 that "God Bless America" signs in car windows, in store windows, "God Bless America" on signs, on business signs? Do you know what? He's been blessing America for a couple of hundred years plus, hasn't he? Yes, he has. And only when we need him do we call on him. A construction man in construction, not a Christian, happened to be talking to him about the Bible. And he said, "You know, Mr. Hafley, right after 9/11, he said, "I built more church buildings in 3 months than I have in 40 years of being a contractor." He said, "Now it slowed down." But right after 9/11, people became interested in their souls. Is that what it takes? And not just two buildings gone down or 3,000 people die? You know, the church grew its greatest in its greatest persecution, didn't it? They grew and they multiplied. Read the early chapters of the book of Acts. Almost every chapter tells about the growth of the church. So we need to be mourning. We are so blessed we forget to thank God for the blessings we have. And to pray to him that our nation might be forgiven, because the nations that are doing what we are doing do not continue to exist. I don't know what generation is going to get it, but I know that this nation is going to go under someday. Judge Roy Moore, remember him? Alabama judge who's still working and trying to get undone what the Supreme Court did with homosexuals and telling other judges not to follow that law of the land, supposedly. He wrote this poem, and you'd think a Christian had written it. I hope you've read it before, but read along with me. America the beautiful, or so you used to be. Land of the pilgrims' pride, I'm glad they'll never see. That is the pilgrims. Babies piled in dumpsters, abortion on demand. Oh, sweet land of liberty, your house is on sand. We know what that refers to, don't we? Our children wander aimlessly, poisoned by cocaine, choosing to indulge their lust when God has said, abstain. From sea to shining sea, our nation turns away from the teaching of God's love and a need to always pray. So many worldly preachers tell lies about our rock, saying God is going broke so they can fleece the flock. We've kept God in our temples. How callous we have grown when earth is but his footstool and heaven is his throne. From sea to shining sea, our nation turns away from the teaching of God's love and a need to always pray. We voted in a government that's rotting at the core, appointing godless judges who throw reason out the door. You shaking your head this way? Mm-hmm. Too soft to place a killer in a well-deserved tomb, but brave enough to kill a baby before he leaves the womb. You think that God's not angry that our land's a moral slum? How much longer will he wait before his judgment comes? How are we to face our God with whom we cannot, or from whom we cannot hide? What then is left for us to do but stem this evil tide? If we who are his children will humbly turn and pray, seek his holy face and mend our evil way. Then God will hear from heaven and forgive us of our sins. He'll heal our sickly land and those who live within. But America the beautiful, if you don't, you will see a sad but holy God withdraw his hand from thee. Folks, it's coming. He knew that. We ought to know that. When we don't know the past history, not only of our nation, but of others, we're doomed to follow in it, aren't we? So we're studying tonight, living in an unrighteous or an ungodly nation. Our nation was founded on godly principles, things that our children are not being taught. Our grandchildren are not being taught these things today. We talk to our grandchildren, and all they know is hatred for our country and what our country has done. There's no love, no loyalty anymore. We're trying to tell them what has really happened. But our nation was founded on godly principles. 52 of the 55 men who worked on the Declaration of Independence were believers in God and members of denominations. Patrick Henry, remember the fellow, give me liberty or give me death? Just a few years after the inception of our great country, he said, it cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians. Not on religion, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ. We hear language like that today? Oh, you don't mention the Bible, do you? The New England Primer. First textbook published in America, and it was our textbook from 1690 to 1900. I want you to learn a little bit about it. So, have you seen one? Do you have one? We got one from some teachers that were teachers early in the 19th century, members of the church. First graders learned the alphabet from the Bible. Well, how did they do that? Each letter used a phrase from the Bible. I'll give you a few here. A wise son maketh a glad father. They memorized it. A. B. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than a great treasure and trouble therewith. Proverbs 15 and verse 16. C. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. 26 letters, 26 verses. This is first graders, folks. Oh, but they can't do that today. Can't get our little ones memorizing the scripture today. Oh, yeah, we just don't. I skipped D and went to E. Look what passage represents E. Except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That's what our little ones were learning a couple of centuries ago. Think that's allowed in school today? No, sir. The New England Primer. Questions in the back of the book. What is the fifth commandment? Next question. What is forbidden in the... You can look them up. Then, so on. What is this? What is required in the sixth commandment? What's forbidden? And on and on. See how associated with the Bible their education was? And their parents, before they went to school, knew that and would be teaching them these things and others and reading this book to them at night instead of entertaining them with their thumbs. 200 years, it was the foundation of our educational system. And not anymore. The first Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, Mr. John Jay, said, Providence, or God has given to our people the choice of their rulers, and it is the duty as well as the privilege and interest of our Christian nation to select and prefer Christians for their rulers. How are we doing? Remember Mr. Clinton and his shenanigans? Who did we vote in the very next time? I knew our nation was on the decline when he got back in. Are we doing any better? Are we getting closer to God when the Supreme Court says abortion and homosexuality, we drawing closer to God? It is an abomination, and we ought to hate it. How long since we heard a language like that from Mr. John Jay? Not from our rulers today. George Washington's farewell address. He said, of all dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable supports. In vain would that man claim the tribute of patriotism who should labor to subvert these great pillars. Who do we know today that's pulling down religion and morality? Our own government, and it's trickling down from the top, isn't it? Clear to us. Yes. Tolerating it, putting up with it, enduring. This part of his speech, if any part of his speech is in a textbook, is taken out. They don't want morality in religion. No, sir. Religion and morality, he said, and politics can't be separated. They're joined together. But what did he know? For 200 years, we've been under the same constitution. France had a revolution the same time we did. They've been under 7 different forms of government. And here's another one. Italy has gone through 51 forms of government. You want to change? Want to trade? Want to go through what they've gone through? What our forefathers wrote and the laws that they made? My, have we been so blessed by God? Yes. From whom did our founding fathers quote? Listen to this. From the University of Houston survey. From 15,000 documents. After 10 years of research, 34% of our founders' quotes were directly out of the Bible. 34% of their quotes directly out of the Bible. And when you begin reading their writings. What about Abraham Lincoln's House Divided speech? Where do you think he read? He read the Bible, didn't he? Our other founders read the Word of God. The Founding Fathers' concept for the three branches of government. Where'd that come from? Right here. Isaiah 33:22. For the Lord is our judge. The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our king. It is he who will save us. Judge, There's our judicial system. The lawgiver, the legislative system, part of our government. And then the king. Well, they've had enough of a king, so they came over here. So we have a president who doesn't reign all of his life. Prayerfully. But that's where it came from. The word of God. That works, doesn't it? Doesn't it? Founding Fathers' concept for the separation of powers. Read this with me. See if you can figure out how they got the separation of powers from this verse. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? Thus a check and balance system. One person doesn't make all the decisions. We have a check and balance system. Husband and wife should be that way too, shouldn't they? Okay? This is where they got it. The heart is deceitful. If one man is in control, can he be deceived? Can he be bribed? Can he be bought? Yes. But others over here are saying, not going to do it. In control. That's where they got it, folks. And how about this for tax exemption for churches? Did they just sitting around someday say, you know what would be good if we didn't tax our churches? Right here, Ezra 7:24. You are also to know that you have no authority to impose taxes, tribute, or duty on any of the priests, Levites, singers, gatekeepers, temple servants, or other workers at this house of God. That's where it came from. Our foundation, our basis for our government and its laws came from our book, God's book. Isn't that powerful? Isn't that awesome? The First Amendment, what does it say? Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Do you see any mention of separation of church and state? Me neither. None of those words are used. Leaders today don't want freedom of religion, but they want freedom from religion. The day will come, folks, when you will fear to come to the house of God. They're going to put it in us. Slowly but surely, it's trickling down. The things that they've gotten past, a few years ago, you'd have shook your head. Craig and I were talking today. It just did. What, 1973, aborting babies, murdering babies, called a silent scream when their little heads are still in the mother, and they stick a knife up in its brain and twist it? That's what they're doing, and even now, alive, salvaging body parts. Yes, it's sickening, and it ought to make us sick, and it's making God sick. Purpose of the First Amendment, so one denomination wouldn't run the nation. They'd had that in England, the Church of England, and they came to have religious freedom. They wanted God's principles. God's principles. And thank God we had some men, the early 1800s and late 1700s, that fought for those restoration principles. Back to the Bible. Speak where the Bible speaks. Be silent where the Bible is silent. Thank you, God. And now we're treading on the ground, and sometimes we're losing the ground that they gained for us. William James, the father of modern psychology, said, see if this isn't true. There's nothing so absurd, but that if you repeat it often enough, people will believe it. Alexander Campbell said in the early, mid to so 1800s, that Mormonism would never fly. And if you read the book, you'd say the same thing. But you know better. You'd know better. We could get off on a trail and chase that rabbit of Mormonism down that trail, but you know. Oh, they say, here's the New Testament. Now, we've got a better testament. No, they don't. Pack of lies, isn't it? You repeat something often enough, long enough, people will believe it. The Supreme Court after 1907 began to saying that the separation of church and state was what the founding fathers wanted. They did it without proving it. The Supreme Court's case of 1958 said, a judge said, a dissenting judge, warned that continuing talk about the separation of church and state would make people think it was part of the Constitution. And if you ask the person on the street today, they'd say, yeah, that's in the Constitution, separation of church and state. Nah. Maybe Waters World or Jay Leno ought to go out on the street and ask that question. If they even knew we have a Constitution. Another court case. Prayer was taken out of schools under the pretense of separation of church and state, that it was in the First Amendment. Isn't that something? This case, for the first time, separated Christian principles from education. What did Abraham Lincoln say was a pillar of our nation? Religion and morality. You're going to fall. You take them out, you're going down. But again, what did he know? This same case, separation of church and state, was a brand new law, prayer out of school. School prayer had never been challenged before. It has been in schools. After prayer was removed, next was Bible reading in school. You're going to do it, you're going to have to do it secretly. You can't let anybody know. Uh-uh. Bible classes and religious instruction in school. You can't have that. My brother, back in the late 50s, in grade school, 7th or 8th grade, I might have told you Sunday, that he sold some candy or something. He was the winning seller. You know what he got? A Bible. That was the prize. What's the prize? What are they handing out in schools today, folks? Bibles? You know what they're handing out, don't you? The Supreme Court case in June 17, 1963 said if the portions of the New Testament read without explanation, they could be and had been psychologically harmful to the child. In other words, it could cause brain damage. Just reading the Bible. If somebody's not there to explain it, it could cause brain damage. Really? Well, then better burn that book. You think that's not next? Hitler tried it, didn't he? Supreme Court case in 1965. Children were allowed to pray over lunch at school as long as nobody could tell it was a prayer. It's coming, folks. Later, no prayer at athletic contests. We live in San Antonio, Texas. Football is kind of a big thing down there, you might remember. We have another kind of ball up here. Judy and I went to a high school football game. It looked like a college stadium. Wasn't 30 people over this side and a couple hundred over here. There were thousands on both sides. About 80, 90 kids in the band, or 100, I don't know how many, just filled the cheerleaders, 50, 60, 70 football players on either team, coaches, and so on. Just before the game started, 7:30 or 8 o'clock, just before the game started, they had a prayer. They had a prayer. The band stopped playing. Cheerleaders stopped yelling. Football players, coaches, everybody got down on their knees on that field. Some 10 or 15,000 people, you could have heard a pin drop in that stadium. The law was already not to have prayer before athletic contest. They got the memo, but it didn't stop. How are we doing? Well, they said we can't pray, so we can't pray. What did Daniel do? Let the chips fall where they may. If it causes us death, one of our members in Peyton City, West Virginia, she said, so? Paul said, for me to live is Christ, to die is, next word, gain. I act like sometimes to die, what am I going to do? Not if I want to go to heaven. You know, when school was out at the end of the year where I wanted to go to see my grandmother and grandfather, I could not wait to get that report card. Well, I could have waited to get the report card, but I wanted to get gone. Same with vacation. You get off work Friday night. When do you leave? Well, unless we leave Sunday. No, we gone. Right? We can't wait to get there. Is that heaven with you? Sure. Do whatever we have to do. And not be afraid. But be the Supreme Court case of 1967. A four-line nursery rhyme. Sorry, it's from Danville, fellas. You've seen some of this, I think. But it's been 2 or 3 years ago. A four-line nursery rhyme was considered unconstitutional. The reason? Although the word God was not mentioned, if someone were to hear the rhyme, he might think it was talking about God. Erase it. No can do. For those of you sitting over here, that says probably brain damage and that more brain damage. Have to see it by faith, don't you? Supreme Court of 1980. What did they say? Ten Commandments display. If the posted copies of the Ten Commandments are to have any effect at all, it will be to induce the school children to read, to meditate upon, perhaps to venerate or to fall in love with, and obey the commandments, which is not a permissible objective. If you leave them up on the wall, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not commit adultery. You let them read that, they might think, you know what, that'd be a good thing. What troubles are we having in the big cities and now our little cities? War zones. And it's coming to a theater near you. Yes, sir. It sure is. Isn't that something? Take them down because the school children might read them and they might like what they see. In our little 1,800 population, one stoplight, one drugstore city of Peyton City in West Virginia, Judy and I used to, be careful, I was going to say we used to walk the streets, but we would come down the sidewalk. Here were two old people. And teenagers coming out. Who got off the sidewalk? There wasn't, excuse me, nothing. They expected us to move. And sometimes I don't think they even knew we were there. Just a blank stare. In other words, don't let the kids see it because they might want to obey it. Just saying. They are obeying, disobeying it, aren't they? James Madison, the chief architect of the Constitution, said, "We have staked the whole future of American civilization not upon the power of the government, far from it. We have staked the future of all our political institutions upon the capacity of each and all of us to govern ourselves according to the Ten Commandments of God." Is that what we're hearing today? I think our leaders would be happy if somebody would set them all on fire. But you know what we would do, don't you? We would hide our Bible. We wouldn't turn them in, would we? Under penalty of death, would you? Christians hid their Bibles under penalty of death, one under their footstool. And the kids said, we remember. We'd lock and bolt the doors. Daddy would turn the footstool over and open the Bible and read it. Oh, for more homes like that. You talk about happy. Now they are removed, the Ten Commandments, that said we have based our country on the Ten Commandments of God. A 22-word prayer, here it is. Almighty God, we acknowledge our dependence upon thee, and we beg thy blessings upon us, our parents, our teachers, and our country. God's only mentioned one time. Same in the Pledge of Allegiance. Have you seen Red Skelton's YouTube? If you have a computer, just do Red Skelton, Pledge of Allegiance. Remember back in 52, was it? When they added under God. I had it memorized, and then they added under God. I didn't know what effect it was having. President Eisenhower. And Mr. Skelton says, wouldn't it be a shame if someday they try to take it away? We're there. Off our money. Off of our buildings. Well, they have to tear down a lot of buildings, wouldn't they? Under God is threatened. I know who's going to be the loser. How about you? 1962 Supreme Court case, the court reported that only 3% of our nation did not believe in religion or God. 1962. So 3% has become a majority. You know how they do it? They shout louder. Was it Nixon that talked, or somebody during that time in the 60s or 70s talked about the silent majority? Just saying. First time a minority won, 97% lost. 97 against 3, and the 3 win. What? Because the 97 just sat there. Slowly but surely. Sure, you've heard it. Remember Washington's farewell address? He says, morality cannot be maintained without religious principles. Can't do it. That's why we're having the troubles and the struggles in our nation. Four groups mentioned in that little 22-word prayer: the students, the parents, the teachers, and our country. Let's look. See if there's been any changes made. High school students. Birth per 1,000, unwed births. In 1951, per 1,000, there was 12. Until 1963. 1987, there was 35 per 1,000. You think it's gone down since? High school. 40% of high school graduates read at a fourth grade level, if they can read at all. Been in congregations where some young people get up to read, and I'm not sure they're going to make it through. Scriptures, not to mention the 10 to 14 year olds. Increase in pregnancy. 10 to 14, little girls having babies. Just saying. STDs. Anybody know what they are? A few years ago, I just said, what? Standard Oil? I don't know what. Sexually transmitted diseases. I think there's about 50 of them. About half of them are incurable. You might not have the money that Magic Johnson has. Murders, drugs, alcoholics. How are we doing, folks? How's our country doing? It not only mentions students, but also parents. Divorce has been on the decline. But in 1963, it began to climb. It began to climb. We now lead the world. Yay, we're number... No. Not a good thing, is it? 5 million Americans living together. Living together meant years ago that you had one of these on your finger. In China, what happens? Death? It's illegal. But we're the biggest nation. Single parent families, up 150%. Just ask any school teacher. That little prayer included teachers. Do you think teachers don't need prayed for? Oh yeah. SAT scores. That's when I graduated, 1963. I think I helped that plummet. Graduates can't read, don't know math, history. Again, Jay Leno, remember him going out on the street and asking simple questions about our country? Waters and O'Reilly. It's funny. I mean, but it's not funny. College students. Don't have a clue. More private schools and homeschools. Any reason why? What do you think? Sure. No Bible principles in public school. 30 years ago, maybe a little more, one of our members was a high school teacher. She said, on Monday, we're having a test, high school. Senior boys walked out by her desk and said, "We're not having a test. We know where you live. We will burn you out." She said, "We've already replaced our mailbox 7 times. You think it's gotten better?" And this was a rural school, way out in the country. Somebody make a threat like that, you think they won't carry it out? They'd already torn down their mailbox. Sure. It also mentioned our country. Has anything changed since you graduated high school? Some of you still there? Remember when chewing gum? You got the death penalty. You go see Mr. McVeigh. Mr. McVeigh knew karate and judo. And he also had hanging on his wall a Board of Education. One day I was delivering a message to another teacher. And as I walked by his office, I heard, and then the scream, and then the scream, and so on, so on. Thank you, God. And you know what? No parent came barging in his door, "We're going to sue you." Mm-mm. No, that boy, when he got home, what'd he get? More of the same. You bet. Talking in class, passing notes. You didn't do that. What are they getting away with now? Threatening teachers? Not doing your homework. You're going to pass me because we've got to make the grade. Our school's got to make the grade, whether I do or not. The thinking today is no 10 Commandments, so I can kill, I can steal, commit fornication. Is it not happening? It is, isn't it? And you know what? God knows every case, doesn't he? Parents, grandparents, what should we be doing? Teaching harder. Sitting down at your table, eyeball to eyeball with the TV, radio, iPad, whatever else, electronic, turn it off. Do I have your undivided attention? You know where this leads. We talked a little bit about it Sunday morning. We can't forget. Because when I sin, well, it's my body. Does it affect anybody else? Would it affect Judy? Would it affect my children, my grandchildren, the church? And on it goes. George Washington's farewell address, again, he said, look that up and read it. We're just reading snippets. "Let it be simply asked, where is the security for life, for reputation, and for property if the sense of religious obligation desert?" The sense of religious obligation has deserted our country, hasn't it? How many people really go to church Sunday morning? Do your neighbors? In a town like Danville, only 40% go. And that 40% includes those that go once a year. How are we doing? The 13 colony constitutions. In each state's constitution, every person appointed to public office shall say, "I do profess faith in God the Father, in Jesus Christ, his only Son, and in the Holy Ghost, one God blessed forevermore. And I do acknowledge the Holy Scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be given by divine inspiration." Back in the 13 colonies. Think God wasn't in their life? Did they not sin? Yes, they did. Were there some ungodly men in our government? Yes, there were. But they had the right idea, didn't they? Crime is on the increase. We're the world leader, not only in divorce, in violent crimes and divorce. Increased 794% since 1963. I heard the other day, seem like 5 to 10 seconds, there's a crime committed. God's law, stop all crime. Sermon on the Mount. We read that, what, take you about 15 minutes to read it if you're a slow reader? Those three chapters? When it stop? Don't be angry. Would that stop a lot of death? Road rage? I know some people still be alive. I've heard of three women taking out a gun, shooting somebody they were mad at on the highway. Where are those women that did the shooting? They're in jail. What about the families of the one murdered? Remember, anger resteth in the bosom of fools, Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 9. People are act like that. Heard on the radio a few years ago, two friends playing cards, next door neighbors. They'd done it for 30 years. One of them lost every game that night. He went home, got a butcher knife, came back and stabbed his friend. Really? That's the first thing you think of when you get mad, right? I got to get a knife, kill somebody. No, you know why you don't think that way? Because you got this in your head. What do we say? Psalm 119, verse 11 says, somebody started for me. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Where's that found? All right, got it. Put it up there. It stops abuse of all kinds. Spousal abuse, child abuse, children abuse of their mother and father. Did that stop that? That's a bunch of foolishness. How about going postal? That wasn't a word or a subject when I was young. We have several friends who work for the post office. They didn't like that, going postal. Well, I can't help that. Road can't help that. I don't have to be a part of it. Don't lust, the Bible tells us. Would that stop some sin? Huh? What we talked about David the other night? If he'd just turned around and went back in his palace, what wouldn't have happened to David? Whoa, that list is almost endless, isn't it? No baby dying, no Uriah dying, one of his chief bodyguards. No trouble for the rest of his life like he had. That's what it'll cost you. Love your neighbor as yourself. You know, I love me. I really do. The Bible tells us, husbands, love your wife as what? Christ. Well, as Christ loved the church, and as you love yourself. That's why when I slam a door, I make sure, and Sherry's been making sure that I don't mash my hand in the car door. Be very careful with me for that. Or when you're using a knife. Oh, no, you watch what you're doing. Or a chainsaw, right, Todd? Or an axe. Or my part of screwdriver. I do a lot of damage. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. You're not going to hurt him, are you? Matter of fact, 5:44, Matthew says to do what to your enemies? Love your enemies. If he's hungry, what? Well, good for him. He deserves it. If he's thirsty, what? Here, I'll drink the water. Watch me. No. Wouldn't we have a better world? Wouldn't we? The authors of the Constitution understood the individual will answer to God in the future and will either be punished or rewarded. The individual will be. But when does a nation answer to God? Did they know? George Mason, the father of the Bill of Rights, said, listen, as nations cannot be rewarded or punished in the next world, got it? So they must be in this by an inevitable chain of events, causes, and effects. Providence punishes national sins by national calamities. Has that been what his practice? Has that been God's practice? Nations disobey him, even his own people. Was the 70-year Babylonian captivity a joyride? Then you don't know what they went through, do you? How about Jesus in Matthew chapter 23 when he said, Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that stonest the prophets, kill us those that God has sent to you. How often would I have gathered you like a hen gathers her chicks under wings, and you would not. Your house is going to be left unto you desolate. Boy, was it ever. Remember what Titus saw, the Roman governor? Couldn't believe what he saw, those people eating their own family, their own children, their own flesh and blood. You turn away from God, there are going to be consequences. 1963, we told God to get out, and he did. Well, how come God let this go? How come God? Oh, we've done dismissed him, haven't we? Psalm 127 and verse 1. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that do build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh in vain. I don't care what star weapons you have. If God is not on your side, you're going down. Do we need to pray harder? Read Proverbs 14:34. Righteousness exalteth a nation. How are we doing? We just stop right there. Are we being exalted by righteousness today? Not only from our national leaders, how about our state leaders? How about our city leaders? Is there corruption? And some you and I don't even know about, and maybe don't want to. Will the U.S. last forever? So what if we take care of all these? Our economy, the borders, the terrorists. Oh, man, we're doing good. Great. Really? Really? Where are we obeying God? In the family? Question mark should be there. Is the family doing good? Falling apart, isn't it? What have we always heard? The hand that rocks the cradle, what? Yeah. Our kids are not getting taught at home. Don't have a mother or a father or both in some cases. Schools. Our schools? Oh, yeah, the school's where it's at. Mm-mm. Teachers fear lives. They can't teach for the discipline they have to administer. They don't have time. Politically? Oh, yeah, we got the best moving right along. Churches? Look at all of them. Look at what they're teaching and preaching. They teaching the good news? No, false doctrine. Sprinkle little babies and tell them they're saved. Just accept Jesus as personal Savior. Hallelujah. And give me the dope. Materialism. Uh-oh. Now you're getting too close to home. How are we doing? Worried about my bank account. Got to work. Drugs and gambling. How are we doing? Drinking? Just saying. That's just a list of few. How are we doing? In 1887, Alexander Tyler, a Scottish history professor at the University of Edinburgh, had this to say about the fall of the Athenian Republic some 2,000 years prior. A democracy is always temporary in nature. That's us. It simply cannot exist as a permanent form of government. A democracy will continue to exist up until the time that voters discover that they can vote themselves generous gifts from the public treasury. Is that not we are? I want my Obama money. And that woman wasn't the only one who wants it. From that moment on, the majority always votes for the candidates who promise the most benefits from the public treasury, with the result that every democracy will finally collapse over loose fiscal policy, which is always followed by dictatorship. Did he say it right? Where are we in that picture? The average age of the world's greatest civilizations from the beginning of history has been about 200 years. During those 200 years, these nations always progressed through the following sequence. If you know our nation's history, where do we begin? From bondage to what? Spiritual faith. Did they study their Bibles when they hit this land? They bring their Bibles across the ocean. From spiritual faith to great courage. Courage that I think I may never know. From courage to liberty. From liberty to abundance. Tell me when you see us in here. Are we already there? Abundance. From abundance to complacency. From complacency to apathy. From apathy to dependence. From dependence back into bondage. That's where we are. That's what's happening. God warned Israel and they did not hear. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 12, he said, when you get to this promised land, be careful. Don't forget where you came from. That's why he told them earlier, verses 6, 7, and 8, you teach what I've taught you. Keep it before your children when they sit down, when they rise up, when they walk by the way, or you will get to this land and they know me. Guess what they chose? Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 through 14, God says, I'll bless you, I'll bless you, I'll bless you, I'll bless you. Verse 15, he said, but then I will curse you. What did they choose? The blessings? No, let's take the curses. Did they get them? Every one. And then some, didn't they? Jeremiah 6 and verse 17, they said, nah, we're not going to listen. Like Stephen's audience, who shouted. They didn't want to hear him. Gnashed on him with their teeth. We, like they, are not mourning. Remember we mentioned in the first of the lesson? Jeremiah chapter 2, read these verses. I wish we had time. You read Jeremiah 2, 1 through 13. And then you read Lamentations chapter 1, 1 through 12. You'll know why they call Jeremiah the weeping prophet. What if you went back to the old home place, Mike, down in Tennessee, and the whole town, the whole area around you, burned, destroyed, gone. You go back, what? No. That's what Jeremiah saw. What's happened to the city, Jerusalem, that once was so busy, so beautiful? It's destroyed now. What can I do? You're going to start tonight? You want to add something to your prayers? Pray for our country, and many of you have already this week. And many of you already do before. You know where we're headed, don't you? Then, vote. Heard people say, well, there's no sense voting. Well, then don't complain about what you get. I'm going to tell you who to vote for. Just vote. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. God said, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. What can I do? Last chart. We talked about being a light, didn't we? Matthew 5 and verse 16. Be a light for Jesus every day. Every day. Everywhere. Every place. 24/7, 365. Let your light so shine before men, they may see your good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. Our nation is in trouble, isn't it? You know that. You knew that before you came. But you know where our country was and where it's heading. I've forgotten where we were talking. We said we fear for our grandchildren. Yes. Yes. I don't know what generation's going to go. But the bigger they are, and as blessed as we are when all of these things are taken away, when our food, our doctors, our highways, our water, can't live without soft water. Might be surprised. Can't live without my... Somebody's going to get the opportunity, aren't they? Israel did. Israel said, leave us alone, you prophets. You repent or perish prophets. We don't want to hear that. Close their ears. Send them on away. Like Jerusalem did. And look what happened to Jerusalem. And look what will happen to us. But let us be among the faithful so that if it does happen in our generation, somebody said, if somebody drops a bomb on this nation, let it be in my backyard. Say, where are you going to go from here? You're going to go to heaven. You can't hurt me. Heads I win, tails I win. That's what Paul said. straight betwixt two. To live for Christ or die and go to heaven. Can't lose. But if you're not in that way, if you have not chosen the way of Christ by being baptized into him for the remission of your sins, then his death for you was in vain. And your life will have been in vain. And then you will spend eternity in torment, never ever ending, forever, ever, and ever. Make the choice tonight. Don't say, I'll wait till later, because you're making a choice not to obey. And the devil will never let you go. He'll never make it easier for you. If you need to respond in any way, let it be known right now while we stand out, while we sing.
When the trumpet of the